It's a beautiful day in Columbus, Ohio, which is very rare. So if I'm in a better mood today, it's because the sun is shining, the dogs are barking, the wind has a slight little breeze on it, and it's 75 degrees in March, which is never happening. 75 Fahrenheit, by the way. I think that's like maybe 6 Celsius. Okay, let's move on. Talking about famous investors today. I like famous investors. I like reading about famous investors. I like people who do this for a living, like that are really great investors. They give me a little bit of hope. Like when my portfolio's down, when things aren't looking great, I look at people who have invested and lived through multiple market crashes, multiple bull runs, and everything in between. And I take some sort of comfort from these guys and gals. The fact that they are super rich and that they are good at what they do might help out, but when I read their books, most of what I hear them saying about how they became rich was basically just buying high-quality stocks and then basically doing nothing. Terry Smith is a British, he's like the British Warren Buffett. Maybe one day I'll do an episode just on Terry and his investing philosophy because it's had a pretty big impact on me in the last couple of years. He says there's three things to do right in investing. Buy a company at the right price, buy a high quality compounding company, and then do nothing. So the do nothing is kind of a pointless third step. So basically Terry has two steps, buy a good company at the right price. And that's a lot of what major investing goats talk about. The greatest of all times, the best investors, they purchase stocks that they like, that are at reasonable prices, that have some sort of margin of safety, and then they just basically wait forever. At least that's what it seems. So on today's show, I want to look at someone who has been doing it for a long time. I actually want to look at three someones who's been doing this at a long time. And I want to imagine my portfolio as their portfolio. I want to imagine my future success because I have the tendency to want to sell at the highs and then look for a dip and rebuy. In fact, if I'm being honest, I did that today. Today is March 14th and I manage a small portfolio and I sold some shares of QQQ, and we will find out by the time this episode airs if that was a good idea or a bad idea. Anyway, enough of my bad choices, or maybe good choices. Today, we're going to learn what we can from three favorite famous investors of mine. We're going to see what they're doing with their portfolios. We're going to look at, is the lesson of buy right and sit tight finally going to stick with me after looking at these three different portfolios from these three investing goats? So, each of them, we're going to dig into the top five holdings of their portfolios and see what they think are great companies. You are listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investment ideas, market trends, and income streams so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley. Let's get into it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I am a Warren Buffett fanboy. I have always been interested in the man they call the Oracle of Omaha. I'm trying to convince Glenn James of This Is Money, actually, to fly over here stateside in May 2024 so that we can go to the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting. Warren is getting a little up there in age. And when I say a little up there in age, one of the greatest investors of all time, probably the greatest investor of all time, turns 94 this coming August. If you don't know who Warren Buffett is, I'll give you a very quick history lesson because he is the first super investor's portfolio that we are going to examine today. Warren Edward Buffett is an American businessman, investor, and philanthropist who currently lives in Omaha, Nebraska. That's why he's called the Oracle of Omaha. He is the co-founder and chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. As a result of his immense investment success, Buffett is one of the best-known investors of the world, and as of March 2024, he had a net worth of $134 billion, making him only the seventh richest person in the world. Dang, there's some rich people out there. Buffett was born in Omaha, Nebraska, and he still lives in Omaha, Nebraska. He was the son of a U.S. congressman and a businessman, Howard Buffett. He developed an interest in business and investing during his youth, and he entered, we're talking about Warren here, Wharton Business School, the University of Pennsylvania, pretty famous school. He started going there in 1947 before graduating at the University of Nebraska in 19, and then he went on to graduate from Columbia Business School, and this is a very important part of Warren's story, where he molded his investment philosophy around the concept of value investing pioneered by his teacher, Benjamin Graham. So while he was at Columbia, he was learning from the original goat of value investing, Benjamin Graham. And he learned lots of things, and he became incredibly knowledgeable and incredibly interested, and he has continued to consume more and more and more information until he finally began various business ventures and investment partnerships. One actually worked with Graham on, and he created Buffett Partnerships in 1956, which eventually he made a bad decision, according to him, and he bought Berkshire Hathaway. But then he used the bad decision of Berkshire to make that the diversified holding company, which is now one of the greatest stock stories in the history of the market. Buffett has now emerged as the chairman and major shareholder in 1970. And when Charlie Munger joined in 1978, they have just been crushing it since. The last 10 years' performance of his portfolio is as follows. Year one, up 9.8%. 3 years, up 23%. 5 years, up 89%. And over the 10-year, he's up 152%. So Berkshire is averaging 15.2% each year for the last 10 years. I would call that not bad. In fact, I would call that what I want to do. But what are all his holdings? Well, we're not going to get into all of them, but we are going to look at the top five holdings of Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. Coming in at number one, Apple. Apple is 51% of his portfolio. Berkshire owns 906 million shares of Apple. His average buy price in Apple was $39 a share. Even during the recent downtick of Apple, I'm going to look it up right now because I'm sitting in front of my computer. Apple today is trading at $173 a share. So when he bought it at $39 a share, yeah, buy right and hold tight indeed. As an Apple shareholder, I agree with this purchase, and I hope that they come out with a cool AI product soon to boost the stock even higher. Apple, 51% of Berkshire's portfolio. A much smaller position is number two, 8.5% of Bank of America. Berkshire owns 103 billion shares. I gotta feel like that's a typo, but I capitalized it, so maybe it's not. 103 billion shares of Bank of America. You know what? I'm looking it up. That seems ridiculous. I looked up this research on a website, and I don't know if I believe it. So now I'm typing into my computer, Bank of America's shares outstanding. Yeah, 8 billion. Okay. Yeah, wow. So Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway and anybody who owns Berkshire Hathaway stock are participants in that many shares. Holy cow. Anyway, his average share buy, it's 1.3 billion, by the way. His average share buy in Bank of America is $26 a share, but it only trades at $35 now. So it's not really that impressive in terms of like when you're looking at Apple, it was just so huge. And that's why his portfolio is so much of Apple. But Bank of America has been a good performer with a strong dividend yield of 2.71%. I think myself and Warren would say don't go rushing to buy Bank of America now. When you own that many shares with a dividend yield of 2.71%, he's getting paid every single quarter to just continue holding those shares. So as long as it's going up just a little bit per year, he's still making money on that dividend as well. Number three holding for Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett, American Express, which is 7.6% of his portfolio. It's another finance company, although it's more of a credit card than a bank. American Express is a solid performer for Berkshire. The average share purchase price was $55.55. The stock is now trading at $220 per share. So yeah, I'd say this has been a great buy. He first purchased Amex in 2011 and has basically just held on. Not really many sales, not really many additional buys, just good old purchase 13 years ago and let it run. I personally like credit card companies. I own both Visa and MasterCard in my portfolio, so I guess I can't argue with the goat on this one. Coca-Cola is 6.7%. It's 6.92% of his portfolio. So when 7% of your portfolio is Coca-Cola, and like not Colombian Coke, but you know, Atlanta, Georgia, Coca-Cola, Warren Buffett has owned Coke for a long time. And he seems to be happy with the company. Although they're not really the greatest growth story of all time, they are up 31% over the last 5 years. They have a dividend that pays out 3.26%. So, as Berkshire owns 400 million shares, they get a very large check from Coca-Cola every year, and he's happy to take that to the bank and look for other investment opportunities. The fifth largest holding for Berkshire Hathaway and Warren Buffett is Chevron, ticker symbol CVX. It's 5.5% of his portfolio. You might forget that Warren owns Chevron, as I did, because all the news over the last 2 years, if you follow Warren and Berkshire, has been Oxy Petroleum, another oil stock and natural gas stock. And there was big thought and big speculation that Berkshire would just buy out Oxy altogether, and they would just get in, like join the Berkshire Hathaway of different companies that they own outright. But Warren Buffett said, so earlier this year, Warren Buffett said that they do not have any plans to buy out Oxy Petroleum, and maybe that's because he owns 126 million shares of their competitor, Chevron. Chevron is the fifth largest company for Warren, and it's also his most active company. He's had buys and sells 13 times over the last 5 years. When you look at all these other companies, he's basically just bought and held for a long time, but 13 buys over the last buys and sells over the last 5 years is actually pretty active for Warren Buffett. This is probably because Warren loves to buy more of a company that he owns when it goes on sale. You've heard him say many times, people freak out when a company goes down, but they are excited when their clothing goes on sale. So he is using that philosophy. Chevron has gone down and it's gotten cheaper, and he has dollar cost average on the way down. So Warren has been happy to continue to buy it. Apparently he thinks petroleum is still a profitable industry. Warren Buffett will probably continue to hold it for a long time because Chevron pays a 4.4% dividend, and he probably loves that quarterly check. Let's look at investor number two, Ray Dalio. He's a hedge fund investor and manager. He served as the co-chief investment officer of the world's largest hedge fund, which is Bridgewater Associates. He's been doing that since 1985, and he founded Bridgewater in 1975. And we're going to learn all about Ray Dalio and Bridgewater right after this break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So our super investor number two, Ray Dalio. Dalio was born in New York City, and he attended Long Island University before getting his MBA from Harvard. I said it like that because that's what the Boston accent sounds like, in case you don't know. I know, I'm really good at accents. Ray had quite the start to his hedge fund days. After graduating from Harvard, he then started a family and moved to Connecticut. He started working on the New York Stock Exchange and traded commodities futures. He later worked as the director of commodities for a company, and he got purchased out by Citigroup. And when he was working there at the firm, his job was to advise cattle ranchers, grain producers, and other farmers how to hedge their risks, primarily with futures. He was largely dissatisfied working there. He didn't like the hierarchy structure. It reminded him of his primary education, and he wanted more freedom. As many rich people are, they are self-motivated individuals, and they don't necessarily want to work for the man. So his creative ways of thinking and blowing off meetings exploded on New Year's Eve in 1974 after he went out drinking with some colleagues, including his boss. And after a disagreement with his superior, a drunk Dalio punched his boss in the face. Well, wouldn't you know it, soon he was let go from his job. However, a lot of his clients liked what he was doing, and they kept him as their money manager. So even though he lost his job, 1 year later, he started his own hedge fund, Bridgewater & Associates, out of the bedroom of his New York City apartment. And they have basically just taken off since then. So, Ray, what have you done for me lately, Dalio? Here are Ray Dalio's top five holdings. And, you know, he's like a hedge fund guy. He's a big-time money manager. He used to tell farmers how to hedge their risks using futures commodities market. So he probably has five really exotic stocks as his biggest holdings, right? Well, let's find out. Number one, the largest holding for Ray Dalio, the man who punched his boss in the face, ticker symbol IVV, at 5.5% of his portfolio. His biggest holding isn't cryptocurrency. It's not Japanese arbitrage play. It's not NVIDIA. It's not Microsoft. No, my friends, it is the S&P 500 Index Fund. He owns 2 million shares with an average buy price of $327 a share. His biggest holding, like my jaws on the floor, is the S&P 500. He's doing what I tell myself to do. He's doing what I advise everybody to do. Not advice, because I don't give financial advice. But anyway, the dude holds an index fund. His largest fund is a fund. Isn't that crazy? I think it's crazy. But don't worry. Number two is a very juicy fund. It is ticker symbol IEMG. 5.46%, almost as big as his S&P 500 fund, is yet another index fund. This one is like a little bit more interesting, I guess, as it's BlackRock's emerging markets ETF. He has made 16 purchases and 13 sells on this ETF since 2017. So he's pretty active in the last 7 years. His average price is $53 per share, and he's down 3% as of mid-March. Even some of the bests lose money over a five-year period. Who knew that? The ETF has a 2.84% dividend yield, and the ETF itself is down 20% over the last 3 years. So his top holding is the S&P 500 fund. His second top holding is an emerging markets fund. What do we have for number three? His third largest holding is P&G, ticker symbol, Procter & Gamble, at 4.33%. If you're not familiar with Procter & Gamble, they make household items. Like, they make every household item. Toothpaste, deodorant, laundry detergent. Basically, Ray is owning boring companies. He owns two boring indexes, and now he owns probably the most boring stock ever out there. However, it does have a 2.3% dividend yield. It's up 16% on the year and 62% on the last 5 years. Ray owns 5 million shares at an average price of $141 per share, and he has been holding this puppy for 12 years straight. And number four, I knew I was going to like Ray. Ray's fourth largest holding is my beloved Costco. At 2.9% of his portfolio, he does own more Costco than I do. He has 688,000 shares with an average price of $412 per share. That's a good buy, because Costco is a great compounding company. And Ray is smart for owning this unstoppable beast of a retailer. I very much agree with his holding. I just purchased some more the other day as they March 7th, the earnings came out. They had a dip. They dropped 8%, I think. And I purchased a couple more shares for my particular portfolio. The next day, they dropped some more. Should have kept some money on the sidelines to buy more. But either way, I'm happy with Costco. I think Ray Dalio is also happy with Costco. Costco has a 0.52% dividend. It's up 48% on the 1 year and 219% over the last 5 years. The fifth largest holding for hedge fund manager Ray Dalio. We are rounding out the boring investment portfolio, because just like Warren Buffett, Ray Dalio's one of his top five positions is Coca-Cola. At 2.6% of his entire portfolio, one of the richest men in the world, actually the second one involved, owns a huge chunk of Coke. Ray owns 8 million shares, in fact, and since we just talked about Coca-Cola, we won't talk about it again. We're going to move on to our third investing goat and his top five holdings, Stanley Druckenmiller. Yep, that's a weird name. It's probably Amish. It's probably German. He's an American billionaire, investor, philanthropist, and former hedge fund manager. His former hedge hedge fund was formed in 1981. They closed it in 2010. And at the time of his closing, the hedge fund had over $12 billion in assets. In 1988 to 2000, Stanley got his chops busted by working for George Soros when he was working for him with the Quantum Fund. He reportedly made $260 million in 2008 alone during the global financial crisis. The friggin' rich just get richer, don't they? People are losing their houses, people are losing their jobs, people are like, what are we going to do? The sky is falling, and George Soros and old Stanley are making $260 million. I guess good for their shareholders. Anyway, Druckenmiller began his financial career in 77 as a management trainee at Pittsburgh National Bank, which is a small city in the U.S. here. In 1981, he founded his own firm, and then he worked for George Soros, and then they made a ton of money. They said one of their claims to fame is that they famously broke the bank together. So George Soros and Stanley Druckenmiller broke the Bank of England when they shorted the British sterling in 1992, making more than $1 billion in profits, an event that later became known as Black Wednesday. They calculated the Bank of England did not have enough foreign currency reserves enough to buy back up and prop up the currency, so they went into a heavy short. And after making that huge money, he left George Soros in 2010 because he was taking some wild risks in technology stocks. Has he learned his ways? He's made, obviously, gazillions of dollars. I don't know what motivates people to continue to work like that. Like, you made, with George and for your shareholders, $1 billion in profits, and you just decided, I'm going to keep working. Either way, he did. And his capital management firm and their hedge fund post an annual return of 30% per year without losing any money. Apparently, that's the reason why he quit, because he said he did not want to tarnish his reputation. So even as his company was still making 30% a year, he walked away because he said, it's more difficult to continue to help make people money, and I'm going to lose my darling reputation and one of the best trading records in the industry. So apparently that's what made him continue to tick. He wanted to be the best, and he walked away at the height of it, just like, no athlete ever walks away at the height, do they? All right, here are his top five holdings. NVIDIA. Good job, Stanley, if you purchase well. NVIDIA makes up 15% of his personal portfolio because he's no longer a money manager. He just manages his own money. Perhaps Druckenmiller likes to ride the trend all the way to the bank. He owns 617,000 shares of NVIDIA with an average cost of, get this, $193 a share. If you are familiar with NVIDIA this year, they will probably cross over $1,000 per share soon. So yeah, $193, fantastic buy. You did well. I wish you would have emailed me, Stanley, and said, hey, Nick, let's buy NVIDIA at $193 per share. His first purchase, listen to this, he's been dollar cost averaging into NVIDIA. His first purchase of NVIDIA was in 2016 for under $9 per share. Again, the stock's about to hit 1,000, and he bought some NVIDIA under $9 a share. I am sick with FOMO, fear of missing out. Let's move on. His second largest holding is Microsoft at 12% of his portfolio. Obviously, this is a great company. I hold Microsoft. Almost every index in the world holds Microsoft. He has been accumulating shares since 2014 when Microsoft was $34 a share. His average share price is $279, so he's been continuing to buy at higher prices. And right now, Microsoft is trading over $400 a share. Well done. Third largest holding for Stanley is Coupang Inc., ticker symbol CPNG, at 11.2% of his portfolio. I have to admit, this was off my radar. I had never heard of this company before. Stanley took a risk on China, it seems, and he owns 23 million shares at $36 a share. It's now trading at $18 a share. He is off 49% on this investment since making the purchase in 2020. Rounding out the last two for Stanley Druckenmiller, his fourth largest holding, Lilly, ticker symbol LLY, is 8.75% of his portfolio, and the big pharma company has made Stanley some dough over the years. He has 403,000 shares with an average price of $323 per share. Today, the company's trading around $780 per share. The dividend's small. It's 0.67. So he must be betting that they're going to keep coming out with new drugs that get approved by the federal government. The five-year performance on Lilly is 520%. So he is hoping that this pharmaceutical stock will continue to come up with new things to continue to grow because they're not giving them any sort of income like all the other companies from all these other guys. The fifth largest holding for Stanley Druckenmiller, our last of the three investing goats, is Teck. Tech Resources, ticker symbol TECK, is 6.1% of his portfolio. He owns 5.5 million shares with an average price of just under $38. Has he made a ton of money? No, he has not. Tech is currently trading at $41 per share. He's been buying up shares of the energy minerals company based in Canada since 2020, and he's not the only big name invested in this. Raymond James has their stock target for Tech Resources at $65 per share, which is about a 51% upside from where it's trading now. So if they are right and Stanley's right, he's going to make a killing on Tech. Maybe I will look into Tech a little bit more after this episode's over. So there you have it. Three great investors, their top five holdings, and we're trying to figure out if we learned anything today. I learned a little bit. I learned about a couple new companies I'd never heard of. I learned that boring investing can still make you incredibly rich if you have a good plan and you stick with it and you dollar cost your way into wealth. That is possible. I learned that a company that makes toothpaste and a company that ruins your teeth, like Coca-Cola, can be a winning combination. And I also learned that I love it when it's sunny outside. Again, this is Nick Bradley, your host of This Is Investing, coming at you from sunny Columbus, Ohio. Stay cool, my friends, and we will see you next week. You've been listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investing ideas, market trends, and income streams so you don't have to. We'll see you around. This podcast is produced and published by Oregon Trail Investor in the USA. All information is for entertainment purposes only. The brand, This Is Investing, is used under license.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.